It is a Furkus circus on this Friday edition of Locked On Oilers as Jagr Furkus is in our NHL draft prospect profile today. Plus, Jesse Puljujärvi, how did he do over this crazy season in his season report card today? Plus, whoa, the hair is flying today as we will have the three best hairstyles on the team. It's a Friday. Let's have a little bit of fun on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Tried to get the hair going there and it just didn't work. It just sounded like I was in a tornado. But either way, welcome back to Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. On today's episode, as I mentioned, yes, we are having a Furkus circus, as I just heard that, and I'm going to be riding that throughout all of today, as Jagr Furkus is going to be in our spotlight today, as he has been one of the most talked about prospects recently in this year's draft, and it's probably because the kid looks like a baller, and his play on the ice follows that. Plus, yes, Puljujärvi, this guy over my right shoulder as well. We will be talking about his season, as a lot of people have a lot of opinions on his season, and I am one of those people. And I am also one of those people who fully supports Jesse Puljujärvi, so we will get into that. Plus, yes, it is a Friday. It's the off season, so let's have a little bit of fun, baby. We are going to be ranking the top three hairstyles on the Edmonton Oilers this year, and that'll be in the final period. But today, right now, we are going to start with Jagr Furkus on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. It is free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, we are also on YouTube, so make sure you get over to YouTube as well and subscribe. It's a totally different experience than the listening kind. And that is because you get to see all the fun jerseys behind me, including this Jesse Puljujärvi one. And you can see my crazy hair go everywhere today for the hairstyle day, I guess. But I'm done talking about that. Jagr Furkus, he is one heck of a player. Moose Jaw Warrior this past year. As we did say, he is a Furkus circus, as he has had. If you've seen the photo of this kid, you realize why people are getting electric about him. And that is because his hair is on fire, and so is his play. Jagr Furkus already looks like a star in the NHL off the ice. But on the ice, as I've mentioned in all of these quips, it is also there as well. Jagr Furkus, he's not the biggest guy. He's only 5'10", I believe, off the top of my head, and only about 150 pounds or 155, 160 pounds. But he is going to grow into his own. And on top of it, he's pretty sturdy. You watch the way the kid skates. We actually can engage in a little bit of physicality and is able to keep his balance quite well. Obviously, with the lower kind of center of gravity, he's able to play closer to the ground. But the thing about Jagr Furkus that really, really stands out is just how shifty the kid is. He can get to and from any puck. He can get to the net from his own blue line just like that, and is really scary to play against. He can get points from basically anywhere and can shoot the puck from anywhere. Man, if you can see this kid shoot the puck, you'd be sitting there and watching highlights all dang day. The kid can shoot, and it is exciting to watch. Plus, not only can the kid shoot, but he scored the Michigan this year. Yeah, not only did he score it, he also tried it earlier on in the season, didn't get it done, but then decided that, you know what, just because I couldn't do it once doesn't mean I can't do it again. So he went after it, scored it, and now is on highlight reels all over the place. That is the gall that this kid has. He just goes out there and plays and does whatever he can to score a goal. He is a clear offensive threat, and he has great vision as well. He can see where other players are on the ice, and obviously, if he has that type of offensive skill, he's going to be sucking the defenseman towards him. He's going to be creating all the attention towards Furkus, and that means a whole bunch of other teammates are going to be open for Jagr Furkus. And if that translates into the NHL, well, if you're going to be playing on a team with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, that helps. And you're probably going to be playing a lot of time with 29 and 97. He loves shooting short side. Like I mentioned, he is a shooter. He does like to shoot. So that's pretty nice when you consider the Oilers need a little bit more shooting, I would say, outside of Leon Draisaitl, really. Most of the shots come from either the faceoff dot or from the defenseman. So really, the Oilers don't have a lot of forwards who really can shoot the puck. Jagr Furkus would be one of them who can shoot the puck. Plus, he has great hands, especially around the net, and a fantastic release, a great offensive threat over this past season in Minnesota with the Moose Jaw Warriors in 2021-2022. 66 games played for the Warriors, 36 goals, 44 assists, good for 80 points this season. Fantastic season for Jagr Furkus, and not necessarily didn't come out of nowhere, but his previous numbers didn't really incite that he would be able to do this, except for 1 year in 2018-2019. Okay, so Jagr Furkus is from Irma, Alberta, not exactly the biggest city or the biggest town, I should say. And that's pretty close to Lloydminster, Alberta / Saskatchewan. So he played a year or a couple years rather for the Lloydminster Bobcats U15 U16 teams. 30 games played in 2018-2019 for the Lloydminster Bobcats. 33 goals, 32 assists, 65 points in 30 games. At U16? Are you kidding me? Now, you may be sitting there and going, okay, like, it's Lloydminster. Like, you can't be playing that great of teams. You are playing fantastic teams in that division. The Lloydminster Bobcats female team, or the Lloydminster, I forget their team name, the Blazers. Lloydminster Blazers won the women's team won this year. This is a great hockey area, and Jagr Furkus is going to be one of those guys to come out of there and actually succeed. I lived in Lloydminster for about a year, and it's a small community. The hockey in there has not been fantastic over the last couple of years. Nigel Dubé came in to try and rebuild that organization. He's been doing a pretty good job so far for the Bobcats, and Jagr Furkus would have been one of those guys to kind of oversee Dubé's changes, and you can see now what that has become. Overall for Jagr Furkus, he's a little bit all over the place when it comes to the rankings where a lot of people have him. I'm kind of concerned because it seemed like Jagr Furkus was going to be available maybe in the second or third round. Now people are starting to take note, and it seems like he's going to be a little higher. Consolidated ranking has him at 29 for the draft. Elite Prospects has him at 22, so not too bad. Now FC Hockey has him at 52. McKean's has him at 20. Craig Button has him at 18, so that's pretty interesting. Normally, Craig Button's one of those guys who just consistently updates his list. Some of the lists just go out with theirs, and this is it. This is the gospel. Obviously, guys develop every day. Guys get better. Some guys get better than the other guys. So 18th for Craig Button, 12th amongst North American skaters from the NHL Central Scouting, 30th recruit scouting, or 30th. As recruit scouting has him. He is 24th on Dober Prospects, 34th on Draft Prospects, and 21 on Smart Hockey. So again, a little all over the place. This draft is a little bit all over the place. You basically know it's going to be Shane Wright, Logan Cooley, Juraj Slafkovský in the top three. And then after that, it's just basically a free-for-all there. So Jagr Furkus will be a name to take a look out for in this year's draft. And again, if you haven't seen the infamous photo of him at the draft combine, you have to. It is fantastic. Let's move on to Jesse Puljujärvi, another winger for the Edmonton Oilers. He's had a little bit of an interesting season. A lot of people, as I mentioned, have a lot of opinions on him. I'm one of them. So we will get to that in his report card in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's Stanley Cup Finals, as Game 1 went last night, plus the NBA Finals also being played as well. And the NFL season is right around the corner, so make sure you take a look at those as well. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and much more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All righty, let's move on to a YSAPOYARV. As I am one of the biggest YSAPOYARV fans there is, really, because YSAPOYARV, I wanted YSAPOYARV to be an Edmonton Oiler since he was 16 years old. I remember watching him play with Patrick Laine and Sebastian Aho and going, that number nine kid, that's the one. That's the one I really like. Sorry, Oilers fans. But the Oilers ended up getting him, fourth overall, 2016. You're sitting there, at least for me, I was there with a couple of friends, and I'm like, Columbus is going to take Boyarvi. I mean, it just makes so much sense. Kekalainen is there. You know, it's just, it's going to go Matthews, Laine, Boyarvi, and then the draft starts with us. And then they got up there and they said, Pierre-Luc Dubois. And I screamed. Oh my goodness, was I ever excited about YSAPOYARV being an Edmonton Oiler. And I know a lot of people have said it's been a disappointment, but the last two seasons have shown that sometimes kids are just late bloomers. And YSAPOYARV is one of those guys. He just needed a chance to go back home. The kid left home to play hockey at like 12 years old. He moved out and lived by himself while with Billets, but moved out at 12 years old. The kid hasn't really been home in so long. So then he went to the NHL, went straight into the Edmonton Oilers, and didn't really have a lot of time to settle in. Now he went back to Finland, settled back in at home, and was able to get what he needed to become a better player. And he came back, and he did. He had 15 goals last year, career high. And this year, 14 goals, 65 games played, set a career high in assists as well at 22, and a career high in points with 36. Now, I know a lot of the talk about YSAPOYARV is that he had such a top-loaded or heavy-loaded first half of the season. He was very good playing on the top line, top two lines, really. And then he got his injury. Actually, really, it started around when he got COVID in around December. I believe it was December 22nd. He was diagnosed. And that was in Seattle. A lot of the concern was, is he going to have to stay in Seattle for Christmas? Was able to fly home and be around family for Christmas. But ever since then, it kind of seemed to not necessarily fall apart for YSAPOYARV, but that was when a lot of his offensive play started to deteriorate. Then he went on to get a tough leg injury, I believe it was. And then in the last game of the season against the Colorado Avalanche, he suffered a horrible shoulder injury. He ended up coming back, but he might need surgery on the shoulder. I know he said that he does after the Ken Holland exit interviews that nobody needed surgery, although they were waiting for some imaging for some players. Puljujarvi's imaging came back, and it sounds like he does need surgery. That injury can take between 4 to 6 weeks to come back from, and the kid came back and played in that game. Like, the heart on this kid that a lot of people don't give him credit for is massive. Now, the thing, too, about the playoffs is his finishing. 16 games played, 2 goals, 1 assist, and 3 points. You want that to be higher. I understand that. To be honest, he wasn't that great in the playoffs, but there were some aspects. He truly, honestly, he got better throughout. And in the last game of the Colorado series, he probably played his best game. Again, he hurt his shoulder, so that's kind of tough. But the kid can get better. He has consistently shown that he is getting better. It just takes time. But you take a look at his stats, And it's pretty impressive. Now, we're going back to the goals for and goals against stat once again. It is my favorite because it really does show just how impactful you are on the ice. You got to score to win hockey games. And that doesn't mean just, okay, you scored the goal. So that means how you get credit. How you get the goal, how you the goal is produced, or how the goal is created is how you learn and how you figure out the most effective players. So, let's take a look at Jesse Puljujärvi's stats. In all situations, Jesse Puljujärvi at goals for per 60 minutes is at 4.18. Now that he sits at sixth on the team, but that's higher than Kyler Yamamoto and Zach Hyman, two guys who had fantastic years as well. Two guys who scored 20 plus goals this season. Jesse Puljujärvi had more goals per 60 minutes than them in all situations. Then, okay, you know what? Let's just stay with the offense here. At 5-on-5, okay, he was third on the team at goals for per 60 minutes with 3.26, higher than Leon Draisaitl, who scored, 55 goals this year. Pretty decent, if you ask me. And then on the power play, 12 goals for per 60 minutes, first on the team and 18th in the NHL. That was higher than Nikita Kucherov, Austin Matthews, and Mikko Rantanen. Jesse Puljujärvi produced more goals on the power play than Austin Matthews, Mikko Rantanen, and Nikita Kucherov. The numbers don't lie. Okay, you can go out there and watch him all you want and watch him on 5-on-5. The numbers don't lie. He was more productive on the power play than the guy who scored the most amount of goals this season. Than a guy who's in the Stanley Cup Finals right now. Actually, in fact, two of them in Mikko Rantanen and Nikita Kucherov. And we're sitting here going, yeah, let's send him away. He's not good for our team. The kid produces. Not only that, but he also prevents goals. Let's take a look at the goals against per 60 minutes. In all situations, he has 1.88 goals against per 60 minutes. Good enough for first on the team. Good enough for 12th in the league amongst all the players, including defensemen. Hello? What is the Oilers' biggest issue this year? Preventing goals. Who was the best at doing it this year? Jesse Puljujärvi. So why are we complaining about how he plays on the ice? What? That's in all situations. At 5-on-5, he has a 1.8 goals against per 60 minutes, and that is also good for best in the team. 32nd in the NHL. What are we doing here? The kid prevents goals and on the other side also puts the puck into the net when he's on the ice. He's an effective hockey player. Just because he's not scoring 30, 40, 50 goals a year, well, 20 would be nice as well, doesn't mean he's not effective. The kid scored 22 assists this year. He's what, 23? What is happening? Jesse Puljujärvi is an important part of this team, and everybody loves to hate on him because he just seems to be a scapegoat. Jesse Puljujärvi is an effective hockey player, and that is why I'm going to change, in the midst of all of this, my grade for Jesse Puljujärvi to a B+. I would like to see a little bit more scoring from Jesse Puljujärvi. That is what we need of Jesse Puljujärvi, or what we need to see from Jesse Puljujärvi, just in general as a hockey player, not even for the Edmonton Oilers, just as a hockey player in general. But the kid, when he's on the ice, helps the team score and prevents the other team from scoring. That is the name of the game, baby. That is the name of the game. Jesse Puljujärvi is an important part of this team and needs to be for years. And that is why Jesse Puljujärvi's report card for the season is a B+. Okay. I knew I wasn't going to wear glasses today. I knew I shouldn't have. because I knew I was going to get heated, or there was something that was going to happen, and I did get heated. But okay, let's move on to the best hairstyles on the team. As I mentioned, it is Friday, baby. It's Friday, baby. As we are going to have a little bit of fun on today's Friday episode, is we're going to talk about the best hairstyles on the team in just a second. But first, we have an important favor to ask of you, our listeners. We have put together a survey so we can learn more about our listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and what you don't like about Locked On Podcast. Just head to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long. Plus, everybody who does complete a survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take your audience survey, head to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now. Thank you so much for your help. Alrighty. We have ranked the top three best hairstyles on the team from this past season. It's, like I said, we're having a little bit of fun. I got a little bit of hair going. It's nice for me because growing up, my parents never let me grow my hair long. So now I get to see everybody with long hair and go, hey, I got that too. But and my favorite player growing up was Ryan Smith. So, I mean, if you didn't like long hockey hair and you liked Ryan Smith, what are you doing? But on the Edmonton Oilers, some pretty neutral, I guess, hairstyles on the team. So it made it pretty easy to pick out these three here. But the third best hairstyle on the team this year, probably won't be back next year and was traded this year. And a lot of Oilers fans were not a big fan of him. And that was Duncan Keith. Yeah, that long hair, he came in and he almost looked like a punk rocker almost with that long hair. It seemed like it would almost go down past the two on his jersey. But you know what, Duncan Keith, I dig it. I kind of dig it. He always had kind of that longer hair that would curl out, but he really let it go in these last few seasons. So Duncan Keith, that flow is fantastic. Second best hairstyle on the team. And unfortunately, it's underneath a mask most of the time. And weirdly enough, it must be something to do with the older guys trying to capture their youth. Well, to be fair, Mike Smith has always had fantastic hair, and he had the second best hairstyle on the team this year. Like I mentioned, it's too bad you don't always get to see it as it is stuck underneath that mask. But it is always cool to see a goaltender having hair flowing out of the back of their helmet. Like, it feels very 80s almost, or 90s too. Not even 90s, more 80s, I guess. It's cool. It's baller. And that's what Mike Smith had this year. So Mike Smith, second best hairdo on the team. And now, the first best hairstyle on the Edmonton Oilers this year. It wasn't even on the Oilers all season. And it's another player who hides it underneath a mask. That's Stuart Skinner, baby. Oh my. Stuart Skinner, your hair is flowing and gorgeous, my friend. You look like Braden Holtby from a few years ago, and I am all the way here for it. All you need to do is start dressing. You know what? I've seen some of your suits down in Bakersfield, and that Bakersfield fashion is fantastic. Let's bring it up here and make it Braden Holtby 2.0 here. Again, Stuart Skinner. Great hair. Almost also looking with his, he's starting to wear kind of those frontier hats, not even frontier hats, but kind of like those hats that Mike Riley, if you're a CFL football fan for the Edmonton Elks, he used to wear before every game. My dad would hate it, but I'm like, that's kind of baller. Kind of like the Cam Newton hat as well, if you know that one. But Stuart Skinner, you got the hair to be a star in the NHL. And hopefully you can. But that is where we're going to call it today. What a week it was, even though it was a little quiet. Congratulations to the Edmonton Oil Kings for heading to their third Memorial Cup over the past, 15 years? So congratulations to them. A lot of exciting hockey happening in Edmonton, or for Edmonton teams like the Edmonton Oil Kings. So make sure you tune into them as well. And thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Oilers and making it your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL, as Locked On NHL covers the playoffs like no other. Hear the latest news and opinions from local experts every Monday through Friday. It is free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, I have a sneaking suspicion that they're going to be talking about tonight's game of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Colorado Avalanche and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Game 2 goes tonight. Wish it was us, but it is what it is. We'll be there next year. Alrighty, everybody, have a wonderful weekend. I hope you stay safe and don't do anything I wouldn't do.